There is nothing worse than untapped potential. If you know that you're made for more, this is the place. I know that every successful person I've ever met has one thing in common. They do not let themselves fall victim to their circumstances. They figure out a way to rise above it. So join me on this journey where I help you to be better, do better, and have better in life and in business. If you're feeling stuck and you're needing some practical tools, some hope to get you to that better life, this is definitely the place for you. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. Today, I get a chance to introduce you to my friend, Susan Fleming. You guys, she is a business alignment therapist, and I can't wait to dive into exactly what that is. But Susan has this beautiful heart about her, and we have so much stinking stuff in common, Susan, that it's like my audience is going to fall in love with you just like I have. So welcome to the show. I am so glad that you're here. Why don't you tell us a little bit, Susan, about who you are? How are you showing up in the world? Like, what is lighting your soul on fire these days?
Yeah, that's a loaded question. I can chug a long time on that one. But thank you so much for having me. It really is just an honor, because I know, like you said, we have so much in common. There's so much overlap. I know that the listeners are really going to just enjoy this conversation. So I'm excited to dive into that. But a little bit about me is I'm in Georgia, in case anybody hears that drawl. Tends to come out a little bit more as we go, but I am in Georgia with my husband, and I've got two teenage boys at home, so y'all pray for me. It is a time of transition as they're starting to drive and have more freedom and do things like that. So I am a business alignment therapist, and I always enjoy talking about that because people are like, what is that? Did you just make that up? Yes, I did.
I love it. Own it.
Yes, I did. Well, I was really just in this time of like not knowing what to call myself. Because I am a licensed therapist, a mental health therapist. So I have that background. But then in 2019, the Lord brought me into online coaching and doing business online. And I was like, well, I can't really say I'm a therapist at that point. You know, there are licensing restrictions and things like that. So I have to be very clear about what it is that I'm doing. And I just was talking with a friend about, you know, what it is that I do and how do I explain that? And she was like, well, you're still kind of a therapist, but it's for business. And I was like, oh, I'm a business alignment therapist. And she was like, yeah, that's it. So it's just, it's been a journey in developing that and really sharing with people what that means, if you don't mind if I go into that a little bit. So it's really a twofold in that we are working on business, but we're also working on you as a person, right? Because we have to lead from who we are. And so having that alignment of who does God say that I am? And who is he? And how do I get in alignment with him and what he says is true about me? But then the second part of that is, what's the purpose of my business? Mm-hmm. You know, how do I get in alignment with, or how do I get my business into alignment with what God says about my business and the purpose behind that? And that really is something that lights me up to talk about, because I find so often we get confused about what is the purpose of business. And there's an overall purpose, right? But there's also a unique purpose for your specific business. And the Lord was talking to me about, you know, is it income, influence, or impact? We see those three things like posted everywhere. Somebody must know. and just in talking with the Lord about that, it was interesting. When I first started business, how I really thought the purpose was to make money. Mm-hmm. And so I was really going after that and working with coaches on that particular aspect of it. And he said, but that's not the primary purpose of your business. Your primary purpose is impact. Mm-hmm. You know, the influence and the income, that'll come with it. Right. You get those too, right? We get all three. But I love it when people have this light bulb moment of, wait a minute, I've been going after the wrong thing. And once you get into alignment with that primary purpose of your business, it's like things just start clicking that you didn't even know were really out of place. Right. So yeah, there's a lot, but I'll stop talking.
I love it so much because I think that's just it, right? Like the enemy can really get us stuck in confusion. Mm-hmm. And when we can bring ourselves back to allowing us to remember why we're starting the business in the first place, or even just discover like the underlying meaning, you know, you and I have talked about this in the past. And I know that those of you who have read my book know that I was in that crossroads in about a year and a half into my first online business where I felt like, oh my goodness, Lord, am I off balance here? And he reminded me that my goal in business is to minister to many people. And so when we can allow ourselves to, you know, discover or rediscover or realign with why we're doing this in the first place, like that really can make us feel like we're on the right path. And then things start to fall into place, just like you said, right? Yeah. But it all starts with that initial alignment of where we're supposed to be and where he's leading us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's so important that we get in alignment in both of those ways, right? Not just within our business, but even within ourself. Are we being spirit led, or are we living from, you know, the soul, and what does that look like? And how is that different? Right. I think there's so many who just still don't know the difference, yeah. You know, that we are a triune being, just as God is. We're created in his image, and he made us three parts as well. So, you know, understanding that dynamic of it and how to have that kind of relationship with him, where you're really being spirit led and allowing, you know, allowing him to have say in the business.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that one of the things that I appreciate about you is that you've had your own, you know, moments of feeling stuck, especially stuck in transition. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your own experiences so that we all know that there's nothing wrong with us. We're having these stuck moments, right?
Yes. Oh my gosh. So much happens in those times of transition. And it's really, I find it's been for me and my clients both, I've seen those times of transition really become this place of definition almost of where it's like a fork in the road, right? Except that there may be multiple, there may be more than two directions to go. And so it really can be a time where we can get a lot of clarity or we can have a lot of confusion. Yes. And for me, it was that transitioning into the online space, you know, being a therapist, having my own practice. I was like, I've been in business for years. I know what I'm doing. No big deal. Yeah. Oh my goodness. No, like it was completely different going into this online space. It's like a whole nother world of things I had no idea about. And I was really working from that soul realm, working from this place of performance. And I would say I'm doing this for God, right? And I hear that a lot of people saying I'm doing this for God, or God wants me to do this, and not really taking ownership of, but I have a part in this too, you know? And it was during that time of transition where the Lord really started showing me, this is what partnership looks like. I don't want you to do it for me. I want you to do it with me. I want this to be a collaboration for us. And that was a whole nother thing that I just had no grid for it. I had never been taught that. I grew up in church and it was all about obedience and you do what he says. And so it was very much this mentality of performing, right? Of doing it, thinking that, well, if I do this, then God will do this, as if I had to earn his love or earn the blessings or earn, you know, whatever it was my goal was at that time.
Yeah.
And so I was really in this place of striving to the point of burning out and feeling like, I don't know how to do this without you know, just taking myself to a point of no return. Like, I don't know how to do this without putting in more effort and more hours, and it's more time away from my family. And oh man, I remember just telling my husband so many times, it became a thing where, you know, he started saying it with me because he knew what was coming out of my mouth. And it was, this is just temporary. This is for a season. I'm building a business, you know, it won't be like this forever. And I didn't realize, you know, that the way I was building the business, I would have to continue in that way to sustain it.
Right.
You know, and so, yeah, when the Lord started talking to me about working from his rest and not striving and being spirit led and partnership, and I was like, I don't know what any of those things are. So, yeah, that time of transition really became a time for him and I to just connect and build relationship in a way that I hadn't known before. And really start understanding what it looked like to co-labor and be a co-heir and collaborate with him and have that partnership and deeper relationship, to where the relationship came first.
Yes.
You know, it was a totally different dynamic when you really, you know, implement Matthew 6:33, right? When it's seeking first the kingdom and realizing he brings all the rest. He gives all the rest. Right. You know, it's his responsibility. He's doing that with you. And so it opened up a whole nother world of learning to just rely on him and trust him to provide for all the things.
I mean, I can completely relate to my own season of burnout that you mentioned in this transition time, and my clients as well. Very similar stories where you want something so badly, right? That you're willing to put in the work, like temporarily. Like, I had several interventions for my husband, like, you're on your phone all the time. Like, I thought this meant you'd be with us more, you know? And we trick ourselves into thinking that we have to hustle, right? Mm-hmm. Hustling. And instead of relying on everything that God is trying to do with us as a partnership, like grabbing us by the arm and saying, all right, let's go. And, you know, this whole time that I have been in business, I've led my business from the parable of the servant, really just, you know, parable of the talents, parable of the talents. And when we look at it and wanting to reinvest in everything that he's given us and want to hear that well done, good and faithful servant at the end, we forget to remember that it's not just us, what we do for him. It's because we do it for him out of love. Like, we just love him so much that we want to do this for him, not because we're earning something back. And that's the people pleasing, I think, that a lot of us get in our upbringing. And I also think that we oftentimes let our own stories of unworthiness keep us from asking God to partner with us. I've had several conversations with people that are literally just so afraid of asking him for the little things. Like, he has bigger things to worry about than my tiny little business or my tiny little to-do list for today. Right.
Yeah.
But in reality, at least what I found in my, you know, developing relationship with God is that he wants me to depend on him in the tiny little things, so that I continue to build those trust muscles. So if I can ask him in the morning, Lord, this is my to-do list. Which things should I, you know, save for another day? And which things do you want me to do today? I'm showing him and myself that I can rely on him in the little things, depending upon him, so that I can build those trust muscles. What are your thoughts around any of that?
Yes, 1,000%. I agree with all of that. Absolutely. Cause that's exactly what I do. I sit with him every morning and it's like, here's my calendar. Is there anything on here that needs to come off? Mm-hmm. Is there anything we need to add? You know, and in doing that, I've been doing that for a couple of years now. And I don't know that there's ever been a time where he's like, let's add something. You know, like, the things we think are important are not always the most important things. And so you've got to get that perspective, because he is only going to give you his best. Right. And so in looking at the calendar or looking at the to-do list, or anytime you're making decisions, if you have an opportunity come up and someone's asking you to do something, I look at it now through the lens of, you know, there's good, there's better, and there's God's best. And so it took out that need to feel like I have to say yes to everything because it's a good thing.
Right.
Right. We often look at things in good and bad. At least I was very much looking at
black and white, like been there.
Yeah. Yeah. And so God said, but it's all good. I'm in all of it. So the question that you need to be asking is, what is my best for you? Right. And not evaluating out of our own ideas of what's good and bad and better or worse or whatever, you know, just take the bad part out of it and say, what's good, what's better, and what's his best? And that alone will transform your calendar right there.
Tell us a little bit more about that process so that the people that are listening, you know, are really interested in getting to a place, right, where they're stop trying to earn everything, to do all of their laboring on their own, to be self-reliant, picking ourselves up at the bootstraps. What does that look like? Like, take us down your process for how you specifically, you know, ask for guidance on those things.
Yeah. So initially, there was this realization that I didn't really believe God loved me, or that he even liked me, right? Because I was still in that mindset of performance and obedience. And so my view of God was distorted. I didn't understand his goodness. I didn't understand how much he really loved me. And that relationship was his priority, right? Not anything that I could do for him. He just wanted to spend time with me,
right?
Which blows my mind.
Right.
So it really started with just sitting with him and allowing him to love me, which sounds really simple, but it can be very difficult. For me, the process was really hard because I had all these accusations and things against God that I didn't realize I had.
Okay.
And he began to show me, you don't really trust me because you don't know how much I love you. And I realized I don't trust you, right? Like I wanted to keep the control. I wanted to, as much as I said I hated this performing thing that I was doing, I had control of it. I thought I did, right? So that's really what we're seeking when we're not partnering with God. It's we're seeking to be in control.
Right, which is where the hustling for the sake of hustling comes in. It's the do more approach, and then you end up getting burned out. It's the asking for advice from 100 different people and then getting overwhelmed by all of the advice and we need to go next. And when we get into that space where we're trying to do everything on our own within our own power, it's really easy for us to get overwhelmed because there are 100 right answers. But like you said, when you can get in alignment with God, you discover that there is one God's best answer.
Yeah.
That allows to chisel away all of the noise.
Mm-hmm.
In order for you to even be able to go there, you have to be considering yourself loved and worthy enough to ask for his help. And that's a lot of people really struggle with that.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got to be rooted and grounded in love. Mm-hmm. And that was the piece that I didn't have. And so for me, it was just sitting with him, allowing him to love me. And what that looked like was, I would sit there with my eyes closed and I would imagine he was sitting there in front of me and there was no talking. I didn't go with any expectation. I wasn't asking questions. I was just like, here I am. You know, I invite you to just come sit with me. Like just the simplest thing, but it was so transforming because what I realized in that moment, I realized a lot of things. That first time in particular was so life-changing because I had that realization of I didn't trust him. I didn't think he loved me. And then I also had the realization of I don't know how to just sit and be quiet.
Yes.
You know, my brain is just constantly go, 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 go. Yeah. How do I turn that off? And it was in that moment where I sat quiet for about 10 seconds. Okay. That was it, like 10 seconds. And he showed up for me in such a way in those 10 seconds that changed my life. Because he showed me my wedding day. But instead of my, you know, my earthly husband being there, Jesus was there. And he just said, "Will you let me love you?" And that was it. I was done. I was like, it was just suddenly my eyes were open to this whole new world of he loves me.
Yeah.
And it was suddenly like just this truth of it. I'd heard it my whole life.
But he used something that you could relate to help you understand. Like mm-hmm. that love that you had at the height of your relationship with your husband, the yeah. day you wed, to mm-hmm. show you the intensity of how much he loves you, like in a way that you could understand it. Like that's mm-hmm.
It was so intense. It was so, so intense. But from that day forward, it was like, that's all I wanted to do was just be with him. Mm. That was it. That, you know, and that's the thing that I really want people to get about God, but also about coaching, is that we as coaches are not here to change anything for you. Right? Like I view myself as facilitator. I'm going to take you to him. Because what you need more than anything is that encounter with him. I can talk to you all day long and it won't change anything. Yeah. Right. And that was the thing, is I had been in therapy for years. And that 10 seconds with him did more than 20 years of therapy ever. Like it's just, you have to have that real encounter with him to have life change. And that's why every person I work with, that's the very first thing we do, is you're going to meet Jesus. And I love it. It's so beautiful because I have, in the years that I've been doing it, I have never had anyone share the same experience twice. Like he will show up for you in the exact way that you need it. So if you will just be open.
What do you say to the people who are experiencing this, you know, with you, that had the same struggle that you did with getting your mind to quiet down and to be able to sit? And tell me a little bit about what are some of the, you know, pieces of advice that you've given around that particular thing. This is really fascinating to me. I love it.
Yeah, it's, I think the thing I hear most often from people is, I can't do it, or I don't see him. And what I say to that is, if I can start with 10 seconds, you have a starting place, right? Maybe for you, it's 2 seconds, but that's all God needs. Like, it's just a moment. He just needs that moment with you for you to be open. And as far as not seeing him, what I love telling people is that God will speak to you in the way, the exact way that you need it. For me, it was an image, right? But we have so many different senses. He can talk to you through any of your senses. So just notice, if you're sitting there and you're like, nothing's happening, you know, notice how you feel in your body. Did something shift? Did something change? You know, do you feel, does it feel different in the room? Did you hear something? Did you taste something? Did you smell something? Right? Think of all your senses. It doesn't have to be a visual. It doesn't have to be something. We say we hear from God, but for me, it's not hearing. You know, I have this knowing.
Yes.
So there's a lot of different ways that he can speak. So I would say just be open to however he wants to communicate with you and just pay attention.
I love that so much. And one of the other things that you said that stood out to me was that you are a facilitator. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of times when we are in a space of transition, maybe we're trying to level up our business. Maybe we're trying to leave our full-time careers to be able to go into business. Maybe we're trying to start business. But those transition periods can oftentimes trick us into, again, like working harder, working longer hours, working to state of burnout. And a lot of it, if we dig down deep to the root of it, it's this, number one, like you said, control. But number two, it's this feeling of needing to be perfect, needing to have perfectionism really come to the surface. I've struggled with this myself, right? Where I don't launch something because it's not perfect, or, you know, I don't do something because it's not perfect. And, you know, sometimes I feel like the coaches, the aspiring coaches, the new coaches that I'm helping are afraid that they're not going to be able to help with the transformation that they're charging for. And so we have a lot of money mindset stories around that. Like, oh my gosh, like I can't charge that because I can't guarantee that this is going to happen. And I think that one of the things that you said, really, I want the audience to take note of that we are a facilitator. You are not the person that is supposed to create the massive change. You are not the person that's supposed to create everything with perfection. You are supposed to be obedient partner and allow him to show up through you in a way that allows him to do his work. And so it almost like takes the pressure off mm-hmm. of us, feeling like we have to perform to be accepted, perform to earn his love, to perform to earn validation in the marketplace, when really it's just showing up as our best and allowing him to compensate for the rest.
Yeah, I love that. It's definitely a mindset shift when you see yourself as facilitator. It is like you say, there's no, it's like it just takes all the pressure off. When you say, God's got this, right. Right? Like it's his responsibility to do the transforming. That's not my job.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely. I would say, just reminding yourself of that.
And it's not a, like, I don't care. Like your right. love for your, like you're doing it out of, not of duty, but out of love for the mm-hmm. person. Serving and out of love for God, right? So it isn't a performance base. It's a truly like I'm showing up with my best. And it's so funny that I'm wearing this shirt that says love today. But you know, that's what we're doing, is that we're showing up in a space of love, doing our very best, and then allowing for that control to go away and to trust. And I would love to just continue down this path of, you know, what other things, Susan, do you find that people that are in transition are really struggling with that makes them feel stuck? Because I really want to make sure that those people that are listening are like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, I've never thought about that way, but I am totally stuck here. So how would you describe that with the people that you help and even yourself?
Yeah. Well, it's like you were saying earlier, the time of transition isn't always clean cut. Right. Like so many of us, when we are transitioning into something else, we still have a foot in what was before. Yes. You know, I don't know very many people who are able to quit their job and then start something new. It's not that end and beginning, right? There's so much overlap.
Right.
You know, and for me, I had about a year of time there where I still had my private practice and I was trying to start this business. And so you tell yourself, of course I'm tired. I'm working long hours, right? Of course I've got a headache because I skipped lunch, or, you know, these things that happen in burnout that we don't realize are actually signs of burnout because we've taken them individually and made excuses for each one as to why it should be happening, right? Of course I'm working longer hours. I'm doing two jobs now, basically, right?
Yeah.
So we set the expectation that it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
We set the expectation that we're going to have to do more, be more, work more, put in more time and energy and effort. We set that expectation going into it.
Right.
So when it happens, our brain is like, oh, well, we knew that's what was going to happen, right? And what you want to do instead is set the expectation that this is not the normal, right? That the hustle, that all the more that you're doing is not the norm. So your brain will perk up and go, wait a minute, this is not what's supposed to be happening. Right. And so changing that narrative in your mind was really helpful for me when I started seeing those pieces of burnout, those symptoms of burnout, when I was able to go, when my brain kind of perked up and went, wait a minute, you know, so I stopped making excuses for all the things, and then finally came to a place of, okay, God, I've got to surrender everything here because I can't keep going like this. My body isn't going to keep working.
Right. Well, and you know, my husband, you know, bless him, like there's definitely a reason that God put us together, because he is the opposite of me in so many ways. And he is my balancer. And, you know, so many times he'd help me to keep in check. He's like my bumper rail, you know, and saying, hey, yeah, like at what cost, Lichelle? Like, I know that you're saying 3 to 5 years and you just got to work hard for the bigger, but he's like, I just want you to, honey, to recognize that at the end of that 3 to 5 years, who is going to be there to celebrate with you? And I want you to just be mindful of that, which is a lot of the reason why I started my business, Life by Design. And you and I have so much in common around this, because why we can have the and, like, right? It doesn't have to be either or, but our stories that we're taught say that we have to struggle for things to be successful. And so you're basically telling us right now that that is not necessary.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not at all. There doesn't have to be struggle in it. When you are in that partnership with the Lord and you're being spirit led and you're asking him every morning, what are we going to do today? Mm-hmm. You know, it's been amazing to me how many times he has taken things off my calendar and said, now in that place, we're going to take a walk, or we're going to read a book, or we're going to go spend time with one of your friends, right? And we get into this place of guilt and tell ourselves, but it's during work hours. I can't do that. I have to work this full 8, 10, 12, however many hours, right? And we feel bad if we're not working that entire span of time. And I love that you have your husband and someone in your life to say, wait a minute, like, you know, that's at what cost? You know, what an incredible question to ask ourselves.
Yeah.
At what cost?
Right.
Because when you get to that place you think you want to get to, who's going to be there? Who's going to be left? What are your relationships going to look like? What is your health going to look like? It's just, that's such an impactful question to ask. So I'm bravo to your husband. That's awesome.
How, you know, is it really just getting in alignment with God? I mean, I want to have people hear from people other than me, right? Because one of the things that I would say is, if I had a, you know, on my heart to have, let's say, 5 connections in DMs in a day, oftentimes I would pray before I would scroll and I would say, Lord, please highlight the people in my feed that you really want me to connect with. Because the algorithm, gosh, who knows what the heck the algorithm is doing. So why not just allow the people that show up in my feed to be divinely led to me, and then allowing what they have, maybe it's just this feeling that I don't know why, but this person's name is standing out to me. And I would, you know, take that into DM and allowing my conversations to be led by him instead of doing 100 things on my own, 10 led by him is going to be more fruitful. Is that kind of in what you're doing, is just allowing him to guide you even in the little things?
Yes. Yes. Just very practically, you know, we have this idea of our quote, quiet time being in the morning, right? But that should continue all day long. That conversation that you start with the Lord in the morning when you wake up should continue all day long. So just as I'm going through the day, I mean, I do have that time in the morning where I ask about my schedule, but then, like you said, even as I'm going through my day, I'm approaching it when I'm on social media, my number one question is always, how can I serve? How can I serve today? How can I show up? Lord, what do they need to hear today? Before I post anything, right? Like, we talk a lot about scheduling content and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't pre-schedule content unless I'm going to like be out of town somewhere where I can't, you know, where it's focused family time. I don't pre-schedule because that's my everyday, Lord, what do they need to hear today? And yeah. Some days I don't post anything.
Yeah.
Right. Like there's no, it's like that pressure has gone because I'm allowing him to show me how I can serve.
Yeah.
So that would be a practical thing, is asking that question, but also coming from the mindset of it's already done.
Yeah.
Right. It's already done. The cross has told us, Jesus has told us, it is finished. And so what does that look like in your business? Well, for me, it's saying it's already done. I already have the resources. I already have the connections. I already have the clients. Lord, I thank you that you have already given me clients. As I show up today, will you highlight to me who they are? Right. So I'm not striving. I'm not on social media going, okay, what can I post so people will buy something? Or who can I talk to because they've shown interest in what I'm doing? Right. And it's not that there's anything wrong with it. Like, I want to be clear about, you know, it's just a different mindset of I'm not looking to get from people. Right. And so coming from that abundance mindset of I already have everything I need. The Lord has said I am lacking in nothing. So now it changes the question to how do I partner with him to get that thing? Right. How do we bring that into the earth? How do we manifest that and show that partnership in the earth?
Yes.
Right. So asking him, like you said, highlight to me, who are we talking to today? So it's a totally different shift. Just as you continue throughout your day, continuing that conversation with him and staying in contact and awareness of he's with me all the time. The connection doesn't stop when I come out of my quiet time in the morning, right? You know, so continuing to do business with him all day long.
Yes, I love that so much. And that's what a true partnership is. And so I think that, you know, I wanted to wrap this up by just acknowledging the transition, because that's what we've talked about a couple of times during this. And one of the things that I feel is necessary to acknowledge is that whenever you're feeling stuck, you guys, oftentimes it means that you're right at the edge of the breakthrough. It's right at the edge of where you've been to where you're going. And it's like you're kind of getting kind of stuck in the in-between. And I just want to remind all of you guys that in whatever transition that you're in, the fact that you're stuck is actually a good sign, because it's telling me that you are so stinking close.
Mm-hmm.
You have any perspective on that you wanted to add?
Mm-hmm. It's just such a beautiful way to look at it, right? To get us out of the frustration of like, oh, you know, there's this grind and tension of like, I know there's more, but I don't know how to get there. And like, you know, that puts us in frustration and anxiety. And like, I can just feel my body change when I talk about it. But yeah, when you change that perspective to I'm stuck right here because I'm on the edge of something. I am up against the next thing. I am so close, right? When you start looking at it from that perspective, that the stuck is a good thing. Yeah, that just changes everything.
I almost like I'm feeling led to just give you guys, as you know, a closer with this. If you're driving, you know, of course, don't close your eyes, but imagine closing your eyes and picturing yourself at that metaphorical stuck point. And what is in front of you? Maybe it's a wall, maybe it's a fence, maybe it's a ledge that you have to climb up. Maybe it's the body of water that you have to get across. but it's something that's holding you back from that next step. I want you to imagine that Jesus appears and he reaches his hand out towards you and is ready to pull you over, pull you through, pull you on top of what is holding you back, and reminding yourself that you're not stuck alone and that your partnership with him is literally right here waiting for you to receive. He's right next to you. He wants to help you get from where you are to where you want to be. And so imagine that he pulls you out of that space. And I want you to ask yourself, how do you feel? Do you feel empowered? Do you feel felt, heard, safe, loved, ready? And use that analogy every time you feel stuck, knowing that you're not in this alone and that he wants to help you out of it. Maybe it's just he's given you a step because there's one more step of lesson that you have to learn, but he's right there next to you. And stuck is temporary. And I can't wait to see where this takes you.
That's so beautiful.
How fun is this? Okay, Susan, anything else that you wanted to mention before we, you know, wrapped up this conversation? Because it's so much fun. We have so much in common.
I love that visualization you just did. I would encourage people to do that. If you can't do it right now, go back to it when you have, you know, a space of 30 seconds or so to sit with that image. I would also encourage you to just be with the Lord, you know, like I was saying earlier, just that spending that time with him without expectation, right? You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to turn on worship music. You can just be, you know. I think a lot of times we think those are requirements to spending time with him. But I would encourage you to just get still and quiet and just go without expectation and allow him to show you who he is.
Oh.
I mean, it's just, that's the beauty of that exercise, is I think we get so, we're scared to be that vulnerable with him, to just show up as ourselves, but he wants to show up for us as himself without expectations being put on him, right?
Right.
So I think it's so powerful when you make that shift, when you go into it in that mindset of there's no expectation here. I'm just going to be me and allow Jesus to be Jesus, and we'll see where it goes.
I love that curiosity, expectation in a box, and none of us belong in a box, you guys. So, oh my gosh, I love this. So if you want to connect with Susan, you want to follow her journey, you want to see what she's all about, make sure that you check out the show notes so that everything that's all about Susan is going to be readily accessible to you guys. If you haven't already, make sure that you hit subscribe, leave a review, do what is necessary for us to know, like what you took from this episode, because it's always so much fun for us to figure out how we best serve you and for Susan to hear, you know, the most impactful parts of her, you know, part of the conversation. So thank you so much for doing that. We love, love, love it when you guys take screenshots, share us in your stories, share us in social media, tag us, you know, share it with a friend so that we get a chance to interact with you guys out in the social world. It's so much fun. Now, Susan, one of the things that I do to wrap up every conversation is to ask you to propose a question to the audience that's going to help them to move themselves from where they are to where they want to be. So what question, what purposeful, powerful question would you love for them to consider that's going to help them move forward?
That's good. I would ask you to ask yourself, do I really believe God loves me?
That's beautiful. That's really powerful, because that's your ability to accept his partnership with you. So, oh, I love this so much. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. As always, I'm here to support you, encourage you. I love the fact that you show up every single Wednesday to to join this amazing community here. And I hope that y'all have an amazing rest of your week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Untucked Podcast. I'm so grateful to be on this journey with you. And don't forget to check out the show notes if you want to get into my private club, The Better Club, to be able to learn better ways to be better, do better, and have better. So until next time, keep showing up. Let's get unstuck together. Have a great day.